Lesson 43. The Shepherds of Israel. Old Testament Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual. Ezekiel chapter 18, chapter 34, and chapter 37. Purpose: to encourage class members to fulfill their responsibilities as shepherds of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2. Preparation. 1. Prayerfully study the following scriptures. A. Ezekiel chapter 34. The Lord reproves those shepherds who do not feed the flock. He will seek all the lost sheep and be their shepherd. B. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 through 32. Ezekiel teaches that the wicked who repent will be saved, and that the righteous who turn to wickedness will be cast out. C. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Ezekiel sees a vision in which many dry bones are given life. D. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. Ezekiel prophesies that the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph will become one in the Lord's hand. 2. Additional reading, Ezekiel chapter 2. Suggested lesson development. Attention activity. You may want to use the following activity or one of your own to begin the lesson. Read or write on the chalkboard the following question: how is a shepherd different from a sheepherder? Ask class members to listen for answers to this question in the following quotation from President Ezra Taft Benson. You may want to have a class member read the quotation. In Jesus' time, the Palestinian shepherd was noted for his protection of his sheep. Unlike modern sheepherders, the shepherd always walked ahead of his flock. He led them. The shepherd knew each of the sheep and usually had a name for each. The sheep knew his voice and trusted him and would not follow a stranger. Thus, when called, the sheep would come to him. See John chapter 10, verses 14 and 16. At night, shepherds would bring their sheep to a corral called a sheepfold. High walls surrounded the sheepfold, and thorns were placed on top of these walls to prevent wild animals and thieves from climbing over. Sometimes, however, a wild animal driven by hunger would leap over the walls into the midst of the sheep, frightening them. Such a situation separated the true shepherd, one who loved his sheep, from the hireling, one who worked only for pay and duty. The true shepherd was willing to give his life for the sheep. He would go in amongst the sheep and fight for their welfare. The hireling, on the other hand, valued his own personal safety above the sheep and would usually flee from the danger. In Conference Report, April 1983, page 61, or Ensign, May 1983, page 43. After reading the quotation, ask class members to summarize the differences between a shepherd and a sheepherder or hireling. Use the following questions if necessary, and list the answers on the chalkboard. Where does the shepherd walk in relation to the sheep? Where does the sheepherder walk? The shepherd walks ahead of the sheep and leads them. The quotation implies that the sheepherder walks behind the sheep and drives them. What is the shepherd's relationship with each of the sheep? What is the sheepherder's relationship with each of the sheep? How does the shepherd respond when the sheep are in danger? How does the sheepherder respond? Explain that part of this lesson discusses our responsibilities as spiritual shepherds. Scripture discussion and application. As you teach the following scripture passages, discuss how they apply to daily life. Encourage class members to share personal experiences that relate to the scriptural principles. In 597 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon carried into captivity many people from the kingdom of Judah. Among these captives was Ezekiel, whom the Lord called as a prophet 5 years later. In 587 BC, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and took many more captives. Ezekiel ministered to his exiled people until 570 BC. Ezekiel's writings include stern rebukes and glorious promises that apply not only to the ancient kingdom of Judah, but to all Israel, including church members today. Although Jerusalem had been destroyed, Ezekiel foresaw a day when Israel would be gathered and restored. This event is symbolized in his vision of the Valley of Dry Bones and in his prophecy about the sticks of Judah and Joseph. 1. The Shepherds of Israel. Teach and discuss Ezekiel chapter 34. In this chapter, the Lord reproved the self-serving shepherds of Israel who had not fed the flock. He then described himself as the good shepherd who would gather his flock in the latter days and lead them during the millennium. Who are the shepherds of Israel spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 34? The religious leaders of Ezekiel's day. Why was the Lord displeased with them? See Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 through 4. What happened to the sheep when the shepherds neglected them? See Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. In what ways can each of us be considered a shepherd of Israel? We are to watch over and strengthen each other as family members, church members, neighbors, home teachers and visiting teachers, and members of quorums and classes. Elder Bruce R. McConkie said, "Anyone serving in any capacity in the church in which he is responsible for the spiritual or temporal well-being of any of the Lord's children is a shepherd to those sheep. The Lord holds his shepherds accountable for the safety, salvation, of his sheep." Mormon Doctrine, page 710. The Lord was displeased with some shepherds for feeding themselves rather than feeding the flocks. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 and 3 and verse 8. How might some of us make this error today? According to Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, what do true shepherds do for their sheep? Note the verbs: search, seek, deliver, gather, feed, bind up, and strengthen. How can we help prevent others from straying or becoming scattered? How can we help gather those who have strayed? How can we feed and strengthen the Lord's flocks? How have you been blessed by true shepherds who have done these things? President Ezra Taft Benson said, "We call on you to extend yourselves with renewed dedication. We want you to watch, to feed, to tend, and to care for the flock, and in the event that some are temporarily lost, we challenge you to find them." In Conference Report, April 1983, page 64, or Ensign, May 1983, page 45. How is the Savior like a shepherd to us? See Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, Psalm 23, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. You may want to discuss how the Savior has done each of the things described in these scriptures. Bear testimony of the Savior as you feel prompted by the Spirit. 2. Repentance and forgiveness. Teach and discuss Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 through 32. What does this passage teach about repentance and forgiveness? See Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, and verses 27 and 28. What does it mean to make a new heart and a new spirit? Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. Why is it important to understand that repentance includes both turning away from sin and having a change of heart? How can we experience this change of heart? See Alma chapter 5, verses 7 through 14. What does this passage teach about people who turn away from righteousness and do not repent? See Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 24 and 26. What does this passage teach about the Lord's feelings when He punishes the wicked? See Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 23 and 32. What does this passage teach about the Lord's justice and mercy? See Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25, and verses 29 through 32. Why is it important to know that the Lord is just and merciful? 3. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Bones. Teach and discuss Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Explain that Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Bones symbolizes both the resurrection and the restoration of the children of Israel to their promised land. How is the resurrection symbolized in Ezekiel's vision? The bones came together, were covered with flesh and skin, and were given life. See Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. See also Alma chapter 11, verses 42 through 44, and chapter 40, verse 23. How is the restoration of the children of Israel to their promised land symbolized in Ezekiel's vision? See Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 through 14. The resurrection is used to symbolize this restoration. Ezekiel's vision can also be read as an analogy describing the renewal of the hope of Israel, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11. Although Israel's hope may be as dead as the great army of bones that Ezekiel saw, the Savior can bring it back to vitality and life. How has the Savior renewed your hope? You may want to read Moroni chapter 7, verse 41, as you discuss this question. The bones in Ezekiel's vision began to take life after Ezekiel told them to hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4. How does the word of the Lord give us life? 4. The stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph. Teach and discuss Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. Explain that Ezekiel's prophecy of the sticks of Judah and Joseph had a dual meaning. It refers to the latter-day combining of the scriptural records of Judah and Joseph, Israel. It also refers to the latter-day reunion of the kingdoms of Judah and Joseph, Israel. How has the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 20, been fulfilled? See 1 Nephi chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 12. Doctrine and Covenants, section 27, verse 5. Explain that the word stick in these verses refers to a type of wooden writing tablet commonly used in Ezekiel's day. The stick of Judah symbolizes the Bible, and the stick of Joseph symbolizes the Book of Mormon. Elder Boyd K. Packer said, "The stick, or record of Judah, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the stick, or record of Ephraim, the Book of Mormon, which is another testament of Jesus Christ, are now woven together in such a way that as you pore over one, you are drawn to the other. As you learn from one, you are enlightened by the other. They are indeed one in our hands. Ezekiel's prophecy now stands fulfilled." In Conference Report, October 1982, page 75, or Ensign, November 1982, page 53. What blessings have come from having the Book of Mormon in addition to the Bible? See 1 Nephi chapter 13, verses 39 and 40, and 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 12. How has the Book of Mormon helped you better understand the Bible? How has it reinforced for you the Bible's witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? What did Ezekiel say would occur after the two sticks were put together? A. The children of Israel would be gathered together and united into one kingdom with the Savior as king. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 21 and 22. B. The people would be cleansed and purified. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 23. C. The people would observe the Lord's statutes. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24. D. The people would dwell in a promised land. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 25. What other blessings did the Lord promise in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 26 through 28? One important blessing is the restoration of the Lord's sanctuary, or tabernacle, meaning the temple. The next lesson discusses the blessings of the temple in more detail. Conclusion. Ezekiel's teachings help us understand how much the Savior loves and cares for each of us. He is our shepherd. He is eager to forgive. He made it possible for us to be resurrected. He is directing the Latter-day Gathering of Israel. And He brought forth the Book of Mormon as another witness of Him. Invite class members to share their testimonies of these truths. Additional teaching ideas. The following material supplements the suggested lesson outline. You may want to use one or more of these ideas as part of the lesson. 1. Learning to be a good shepherd. While discussing our responsibilities as shepherds, you may want to read or tell the following story from President James E. Faust. When I was a very small boy, my father found a lamb all alone out in the desert. The herd of sheep to which its mother belonged had moved on, and somehow the lamb got separated from its mother, and the shepherd must not have known that it was lost. Because it could not survive alone in the desert, my father picked it up and brought it home. To have left the lamb there would have meant certain death, either by falling prey to the coyotes or by starvation because it was so young that it still needed milk. My father gave the lamb to me, and I became its shepherd. For several weeks, I warmed cow's milk in a baby's bottle and fed the lamb. We became fast friends. It began to grow. My lamb and I would play on the lawn. Sometimes we would lie together on the grass, and I would lay my head on its soft, woolly side and look up at the blue sky and the white, billowing clouds. I did not lock my lamb up during the day. It would not run away. It soon learned to eat grass. I could call my lamb from anywhere in the yard by just imitating as best I could the bleating sound of a sheep. One night there came a terrible storm. I forgot to put my lamb in the barn that night, as I should have done. I went to bed. My little friend was frightened in the storm, and I could hear it bleeding. I knew that I should help my pet, but I wanted to stay safe, warm, and dry in my bed. I didn't get up, as I should have done. The next morning, I went out to find my lamb dead. A dog had also heard its bleating cry and killed it. My heart was broken. I had not been a good shepherd or steward of that which my father had entrusted me. My father said, "Son, couldn't I trust you to take care of just one lamb?" My father's remark hurt me more than losing my woolly friend. I resolved that day, as a little boy, that I would try never again to neglect my stewardship as a shepherd if I were ever placed in that position again. Not too many years thereafter, I was called as a junior companion to a home teacher. There were times when it was so cold or stormy, and I wanted to stay home and be comfortable. But in my mind's ear, I could hear my little lamb bleating, and I knew I needed to be a good shepherd and go with my senior companion. In all those many years, whenever I have had a desire to shirk my duties, there would come to me a remembrance of how sorry I was that night so many years ago when I had not been a good shepherd. In Conference Report, April 1995, pages 62 and 63, or Ensign, May 1995, page 46. 2. Watchmen to raise a warning voice. When calling Ezekiel as a prophet, the Lord said, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. How were Ezekiel's duties as a prophet like those of a watchman? See Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, and chapter 33, verses 1 through 9. In Ezekiel's day, a watchman on a tower would warn the people of impending danger from enemy armies. Ezekiel warned his people about enemies that would endanger them spiritually. Who are our watchmen in the latter days? Why is it important to have these watchmen? What is our responsibility to be watchmen? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 81. Part of this responsibility is to teach the gospel to those who have not received it. To teach the importance of heeding the warnings of the prophets and of warning our neighbors by teaching them the gospel, Elder Boyd K. Packer told of a devastating flood caused by the collapse of the Teton Dam in Idaho in 1976. In the immediate path of the fast-moving floodwaters were 7,800 people. As the flood rushed down the valley, it destroyed 790 homes and severely damaged another 800 homes, churches, schools, and businesses. Considering the amount of water, its speed, and the population of the area, one expert estimated that 5,300 people should have been killed. Incredibly, only 6 people drowned. Elder Packer asked, "How could there be such a terrible destruction with such little loss of life?" Because they were warned. They didn't have very long, but they were warned. And every man who was warned warned his neighbor. What about the 6 that drowned? One of them was just below the dam and had no choice. 2 of them wouldn't believe the warning until it was too late. They later found them both in their car, but they hadn't heeded the warning. 3 of them went back to get some material possessions, and they lost their lives. But it was a miracle of tremendous proportion. As Latter-day Saints, we learn to heed warnings. Now, I see a great similarity in what is happening in the world, a great tidal wave of evil and wickedness in the world. It just seeps around us and gets deeper and deeper. Our lives are in danger. Our property is in danger. Our freedoms are in danger. And yet, we casually go about our work, unable to understand that it behooves every man that has been warned to warn his neighbor. We have been warned by a prophet. Will we heed the warning, or will we be as those 6 in Idaho who thought the warning was not for them? That all may be edified, pages 220 through 221 and page 223. End of Lesson 43. The Shepherds of Israel, from Old Testament Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual.